Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 65. This is Dave.
And this is Ethan.
What's up, sir? So Josh is off doing something. I think he wants to see a 24-hour marathon, but he's just not that into you. And then what were you saying about Barry? I know he's up in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah, all Deliverance style.
Yeah, squeal like a pig. Okay. It, you know, the line just doesn't work unless you make that noise with it, too.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. So it's a two-man show, and it's all good. And yeah. What have you watched this week, sir?
I watched the second season of Human Giant. Have you heard of this show?
I've not.
It's like a comedy sketch show on MTV, but don't worry, it's good. It has Aziz Ansari, Paul Scheer, and Rob Hubel. You may have recognized Aziz Ansari from the Observe and Report Red Band trailer.
Wow. He
makes that comment about a certain part of his body being a certain
shade. Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
And, yeah, it's very Kids in the Hall-esque.
Ooh.
Very absurdist humor, and it's fantastic. It's really short, though. It's like second season's only about 6 episodes, but I definitely recommend you check it out. Though it's not on DVD, you might have to use a special satellite to find it.
Fair enough. Gotcha. Cool. Anything else?
Yeah, I watched Changeling.
And?
It was more like meh. Wait, how can you put meh into Changeling? Meh-jeling? Or meh-angeling? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it wasn't that good. It was kind of... It's an interesting story, but it doesn't really serve a movie, I think, because there's just too many plot lines going on, and yeah, it kind of ruins the effect. Though Ben Lyons said it was one of the most emotional film-going experiences of his life, so.
Oh. See, if that's not the kiss of death, I don't know what is.
Yeah. And I also saw Rachel Getting Married finally yesterday, and I loved it, though I can definitely see why some people didn't like it, like Chris, our good friend, for example. But I found it to be a really powerful film and very real. Just it reminded me a lot of people I know, though that's kind of sad when you think about it. But yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Very cool. Right on. Well, so that's it for you, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, I might as well start with my new guilty pleasure. Sometimes I let people borrow DVDs. Like, you haven't seen this? Well, sometimes they get to give back, and I finally saw Wanted.
Yeah, what did you think?
You know, it is so, if you can switch your brain off, it is so freaking fun. Have you not seen it yet?
I saw it in the theater with my mom, actually.
Wow. See, that's a cool mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think of it? It's stupid fun, but it's just fun.
Yeah, I liked it. Though it was fun when I saw it in the theater. The entire audience clapped when he smashed the guy's face in with the keyboard.
That was beautiful. It kind of had this kind of a Fight Club moment.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, I was really shocked at how good it was. I figured James McAvoy trying to do an American accent would suck, but it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I stand by my statement that the last half hour of the movie makes no sense, but it's definitely a fun movie.
Oh, it makes no sense at all whatsoever, but you still have fun with it. Especially that last line, what the F have you done with your life?
Yeah.
Just beautiful. And then I went on like this, it was like an animation binge. What did I see? I saw Coraline yesterday with the wife in 3D. Really good. Well worth checking out.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah, it's not as... I don't know. I guess for like 5 and 6 year olds, it could be a bit much. But once you get above that, I think a lot of kids can handle it. It's kind of a throwback to the 80s when movies weren't afraid to scare kids some.
Yeah. Well, so, I very rarely see kids movies in the theater just because of the target audience, so to say.
Yeah, yeah. And I was pretty happy with the kids who were in the audience. They didn't start talking until like the last 10, 15 minutes. And I have to say, like, the last half hour, I want to read the book because it seems like they pulled a lot of stuff out of it. They're like, holy crap, we need to finish this movie, but we're still going to take a half hour to do it. So it's very good. It's well worth checking out. Visually, it's amazing. The 3D didn't hurt my eyes or anything, which was beautiful. And, yeah, it's well worth checking out. And then I watched – have you seen the DVD in the store, Hulk Versus?
Yeah, I've seen the DVD in the store, yeah.
Oh, it's Hulk versus Wolverine and Hulk versus Thor. Hulk versus Thor blows. There's just no way around it. It's awful. It's unless you're all about that Asgardian mythos, you're going to be bored off your ass. But Wolverine was freaking awesome. Because it wasn't
That's
just
good.
Well, first of all, it's always fun to see Logan get the ever-loving crap beat out of him. And there's like blood all over this these cartoons, which is great. It's not like it's, you know, Saturday morning fair, which is kind of nice. But it goes into the whole Weapon X thing, and I will admit it, a good chunk of why I liked it is because Deadpool's in it and they do him right. Yeah, Wolverine cuts his arm off. He's like, dude, what the hell? Give me a hand? You know, stuff like that. It's just beautiful. I think that's about it. I'm just about done caught up on Doctor Who, and yeah, yippee. Well, since Barry isn't here as our announcer, our smooth, dulcet tones, I guess I'm stuck telling you what's in theaters this week. We do have Coraline, the aforementioned, which I guess I should have saved for this segment. Oh, well. He's Just Not That Into You, starring Jennifer Aniston, amongst others. The Pink Panther 2, Push, and in limited release, Chocolate and Fanboys. Did you get to see any of these at all, Ethan?
No. And I have a feeling we're not going to be able to have the chance to see Fanboys either anytime soon.
Either that, it's going to be on DVD in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I just heard how, like, even in limited release, it did terribly. So it's like no expansion is likely.
Great. That blows.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see it, and we'll get to Chocolate in a minute. All right. Let's talk about what's hitting on DVD this week. We have, first of all, Knights in Rodanthe. W, starring, Josh Brolin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw this, right?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to be, it's in my Netflix queue, so I should be, have seen it by the time we do our next show. We also have Frozen River, which has been getting a lot of good word. My Name is Bruce. Just for you, Ethan. Tim and Eric, awesome show. Great job, season two.
Yay!
Miracle at St. Anna, the Spike Lee, got iffy reviews. Friday the 13th, the series, the second season. Tales from the Dark Side, the first season. This is kind of like Raul Julia at the end doing Street Fighters' his last movie. We've got Bernie Mac and Isaac Hayes along with Samuel L. Jackson in Soul Men. And Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3, each getting individual releases, along with the Foot Fist Way. If I could talk straight, that'd be awesome. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Definitely the Observe and Report trailer, which you just saw, they're very similar, let me just tell you, in tone. Like, they're both stories of men who have delusions of grandeur, and I love stuff like that, so. And Danny McBride, he's great in everything he does, so I definitely recommend it.
Right on. Okay.
About the Back to the Future thing. Is it like Blu-ray, or?
I haven't seen anything on Blu-ray yet. I wouldn't be surprised. That would kind of make sense for them to. If you're putting out a release today, you may as well put it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, because it'd be weird if it wasn't.
Yeah. Are you still enjoying your Blu-ray experience?
Yeah, though it's only at my mom's place in Toronto, so I don't. It's not like every day I get that orgasmic picture. It's like almost like every few months. So
well, it makes you savor it more.
Exactly. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. There we go. All right. Wow. Let's go ahead and hit some news. And since you did bring up Observe and Report, wow. I don't even know what to say about that thing.
It indeed does look like a comedic version of Taxi Driver.
Yeah, crossed with Paul Blart.
Yeah.
It really takes it to that extreme that I may actually want to see a Seth Rogen movie, and I'm shocked to find myself saying that.
Yeah.
After my tirade of the last couple of weeks, at least I'm open to having my mind changed, which is good.
Well, the thing is, it looks like he's playing a different character here. Like, some people criticize him for always playing, like, the fat loser, but he's definitely playing against type here.
Yeah, he seems pretty hardcore, which in a way, I mean, it's his delivery makes it funny, but the fact that he can kind of try to play this somewhat straight gives me some hope for Green Hornet, should it ever actually happen, depending on who you listen to. In sad news, Brooks was here indeed. James Whitmore has passed away.
He'll be missed.
He will. Did you read Frank Darabont's thing over at Ain't It Cool?
No, but I saw this video they had on Jeffrey Wells' blog about showing him a video of him just like a year ago. He was at an Obama rally, And the guy was like old. He was like 80-something, but he was passionate and very alive. So
very cool. Yeah, he will be missed. He's been done many things, and I guess he was known for someone introduced saying, "Hey, hello, Mr. Whitmore." It's, "Oh, hell, son, call me Jim," which, you know, that just says all you need to say about a guy.
Yeah,
really. So you had to bring up Jeffrey Wells, didn't you?
You heard about that recent?
Oh my gosh! Do we want to bring that up? We may.
No,
well.
I don't think we should.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I'd lost some respect for him, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, at least it's not as low as other people. I love women, but I hated the women. No, I wasn't going there.
I thought you were going towards Devin Faraci.
Yeah. No. That whole video. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I felt bad for Alex.
I never thought I'd say it, but so did I. And we'll talk about that more off the air, I think.
Yeah.
We can leave that alone. Next up, we have the next viral. There's a lot of viral videos coming out for The Watchmen, including one from 1977 talking about the Keen Act. This was pretty cool.
It was, yeah. I mentioned this on Twitter, but from everything I've been seeing recently from Watchmen, I'm getting actually a real Zodiac vibe from it. Like, just really the period detail I noticed and the soundtrack.
Exactly.
I just think is awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah, my hopes are up for this movie. Yes, my geeky sense is telling me it's not going to be great, but I'm hoping for the best, totally. And this kind of lends credence to, yeah, this is probably going to be pretty good, I'm hoping. So, we might as well keep the comic book news a coming. Apparently, Martin Campbell is set to be directing the Green Lantern movie. So, apparently, the DC universe isn't in as bad of financial straits as the Marvel universe.
Yeah, like, what's with DC? They need to get their heads out of their
DC
butts.
Or Marvel?
DC, just because they're not putting out movies consistently. They need to start a business, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I'm kind of psyched for Martin Campbell doing it, because knowing the action, there's a lot of action in Casino Royale, but a lot of it was kind of fun action too, which I'm hoping will lend itself well to the Green Lantern story.
Yeah, definitely hope there's some Green Lantern parkour.
Yeah, he gets racked, naked, sitting in a chair. That's what we're all really hoping for, right? No. My bad. And, oh, goodness, the chocolate trailer. I don't even know what to say about it. It's all kinds of awesome.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, Google it and just watch it for yourself.
Yeah, it's over at ain'titcool.com. We'll have a link in the show notes, too. But, wow, that is just out there and a half. What was the tagline?
A story of a special needs girl with a special need to kick ass.
And it comes out around Valentine's. How much better does that get? It's like putting slasher movies around Christmas, you know? It's just that kind of anti-programming. Yeah. And I guess finally we'll kindly... no, there's no kind way about this. Have you heard about the Hillary Duff thing?
Yeah.
So for those who haven't heard, you know, there are certain things we're not talking about on purpose that everyone else has. But, of course, I'm willing to talk crap about Hillary Duff. Apparently, someone went to Faye Dunaway and said, hey, Hillary Duff's going to be playing, you know, Bonnie in another movie. And her initial reaction was kind of the same one I'd have. Why didn't they get a real actress? And... You know, here's the thing. Is that without merit, that comment?
Well, I agree. They should have gotten a real actress like Lindsay Lohan.
Wow. Okay. Well, why not just go for Miley Cyrus while we're at it? Sorry. Anyway, someone talked to Hillary Duff, and she said, well, you know, most of my fans aren't going to even know who she is, which I find it hard to believe, because I'm guessing most of her fans are like skeezy older men. I'm just saying. And then she said, you know, well, and if it was really out of place, but really, if I looked like her at that age, I'd be mad too. Which really, I mean, at her age now, she looks better than Hillary Duff.
Ooh.
Yeah. So by all means, Hillary Duff.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
And I think on that happy and pleasant note, let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We haven't said what our topic is yet, have we?
No, but we'll just surprise you.
Yes, with our manly feelings.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from...
Oh, hell no.
To...
Oh, hell yeah.
In the blink of a t-shirt. And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees. And for the ladies, ooh, ringers, raglans, ladies tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly. Walk tall. Be irresistible to the opposite sex. Died. Even we can't do all that. Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo. You pick the style. You pick the color. We do the rest. Because that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
I can't get enough of that commercial, sorry. It just makes me kind of nerd out, and it's funny. So, this week's topic was suggested by Ethan, so I'm going to let you introduce it, sir.
This week, we're talking about the movies that made us, well, cry. This is all in honor of Pink Panther 2 and how it makes us cry for Steve Martin's career.
Dang. All right, then. Well, and there's just the honesty. So I have to ask you, do you tend to be grabbed pretty emotionally, pretty easily at a movie?
When I was younger, yeah, I was a pretty emotional kid. But lately, I'm a pretty macho guy, so it doesn't happen often.
So you don't cry at Benji movies anymore?
Maybe.
Depends on the Benji movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, so would you like to start with this? Should we just rattle off some recent ones, or...
Sure. Well, I'll actually start off with, like, to me, an all-time classic and one that might get me some flack, but I cry at Jerry Maguire.
Really?
Yeah, when he says, "You complete me," I'm a river. I'm a pool. I'm a lake.
Fair enough.
I think it's a movie. It seems a chick flick, but I think it earns all of its emotional impact. And I think Cameron Crowe is one of our finest writers and directors, so yeah, you do one now, since I just am going to get beat up now.
Bambi, no. When I was a kid, yes, Bambi. You know, if it's something, like you said, if something that actually earns it, probably the most recent, oh man. You know, Benjamin Button got to me a bit.
Yeah, totally, for me too.
Like, I wasn't like, you know, curled up in the fetal position crying like a little girl, but it had such a true emotional core that it definitely got to me at the end. And I shed a tear or two. But, okay, you want the one where I was in the theater tearing up big time?
Sure.
The Fountain.
Oh, I don't blame you, man. I was... when he was in that space bubble, I was totally...
Now, are you joking, or...?
No, it's definitely a very emotional movie. I think the last, especially the music by Clint Mansell, is totally transcendent.
Absolutely it is. The biggest part that got to me was the part where it was essentially, you could tell he was having to make the choice between trying to find the cure for Izzy or spend time with her, the time that he had left. And I'm just like, that's just such a tough decision. No one should have to make that choice. And that just tore me up. Your turn, us macho types. Your turn. Me cry now, you cry.
Okay, is it my turn now?
It is.
Okay, now this is one I think it'll get me at least some geek cred, but Lord of the Rings. All three of them.
Really?
Yeah, but especially the third one. I was, you know, when you're in a theater and, you know, you're trying to hold it back because you're with people and you don't want to look like the wussy. And I was like, you know, no, I'm not crying. You know, it was when Sam carries Frodo on Mount Doom, and you know, he's like, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." That
exactly.
Yeah, that's a big moment for me.
And with Lord of the Rings, part of the problem is that it's been made such a joke between the thing that Vince Vaughn did about the Hobbit on Hobbit.
Yeah, that maybe of.
And then you got the whole thing with obviously Kevin Smith's take on it. We just leave that alone. It can lend people to be like, well, that didn't mean anything. And then you watch it, you're like, wow. It's just the kind of thing when there's a true commitment between two characters and the characters are real. I agree. It gets to you in ways that, you just can't really even explain sometimes. I'm trying to think. Yeah. There's one like on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember which one it is. I'm brain farting. I'll let you go again.
Okay, this is another one, another theater experience, but Million Dollar Baby. I remember I saw this in the theater, and I my dad was coming to pick me up from the theater, and I was as I was walking outside, I was a mess. And my dad, he made fun of me for about 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough. This one's kind of like an easy one to go for, but there's a stretch where Spielberg was making like these really epic movies that really had a great emotional core. So I'm going to do a twofer since I made you do a twofer. I've got to say Schindler's List. Just that end when he's like, you know, this ring could have bought two people's lives. And that whole scene at the end just ripped me up.
I don't blame you at all for that. That's definitely one of mine.
Yeah.
Too.
And part of this next one is really has to do with the time in my life when I saw it was Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, are you going to give us the backstory here?
There's a certain point in time. Well, I'm not sure. Do you guys even have the possibility of a draft up there?
No.
Okay, so totally different. This was, you know, at a point in time where I'm totally right in the middle of that draftable age, and you think once in a while, you know, there was nothing going on. But you're like, this is effed up. Like war is jacked up. And I think that the true sign of a good war movie is, yes, telling the story of the triumph and the survival of people, but showing just how much war should be like the last resort humanly possible. I remember after seeing that movie for like, I want to say for the next 45 minutes, the buddy I went to see it with and I stood out in the mall parking lot just talking about like life. It made us get all introspective and stuff. So
yeah. And there's a major difference between a movie like that and a movie like Pearl Harbor, which tries so hard to be that.
Because Pearl Harbor sucked, but I miss you.
That is true.
Yes. Do you have any other tearjerkers, or do you want...
This is another one that's going to get me beat up, probably, but Titanic.
I have a confession.
Yeah?
Never seen it.
Say that again.
Yeah, I do a movie podcast, and I haven't seen Titanic.
Yeah, okay, because I think like I heard you say I've never seen it, but I thought I thought there's no way he hasn't actually seen it. I misheard.
You know it's you know I rag on Forrest Gump so much, but sometimes it just kind of comes into play. I saw Forrest Gump after it had the theatrical re-release. It was like this is the greatest movie of all time, and I absolutely hated it. And I looked at the trailers for Titanic, and I'm like, the boat sinks. You know, I haven't wanted to set myself up for that kind of disappointment again.
Well, you missed the part with the zombies at the end, then.
Oh well, hang on, it's going to my Netflix queue.
Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't seen it. I will probably end up rectifying that this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm. Wow. Yeah. That's kind
of. Do I lose nerd points?
Kinda. Yeah. Well, actually, no. I think you gain nerd points because nerds hate that movie.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You know, yeah, okay. I have an interesting question. We can get back to the tearjerkers in a minute. Have you ever had movies that just like made you so happy in a theater you actually kind of teared up a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Like even The Dark Knight and like Spider-Man 2 and like those are just such – I had such geekgasms that I kind of was like, you know – I just felt it's like these are these characters I love and they're on screen and they're being done so right that it was just like it was like an orgasm of happiness.
Wow. Well, generally those are associated with happiness, so that helps. But I agree. I had the same kind of reaction with Spider-Man 2, but again, just a movie this year was Be Kind Rewind really had that effect on me. It's one of those movies where you just love what you're seeing on the screen so much. You're just smiling so much. There's only so much you can smile. And then, you know, you get that little tear of joy. Wow, which made me sound like such a girl.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
We're bearing our souls here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have had Josh here now that he's, you know, all kind of in touch with his feminine side, right?
Oh, dude. Dang. That's harsh. We're happy Josh is all Twitter painted.
Woo! Yes. Go Josh.
Yes, Twitter patient is good. the funny thing is, how many movies geared towards guys ever actually make someone feel that way, though?
That's a good question.
Because, I mean, you know, when people think man movies, you know, they think chocolate. Die Hard. You know, stuff like that. It's not stuff that's, you know, going to have this deep, I'm coming for you, baby, you know, kind of thing. It's like Message in a Bottle. I laughed at Message in the Bottle when the guy, spoiler, when Kevin Costner died in the boat.
Yeah, all those, the word, yeah, speaking of that, I think we should talk about stuff like, the worst movies are those ones that are so clearly manipulative, trying to get you to cry and just slapping you over the face repeatedly with it. Those are the worst,
in my
opinion.
Much anything on the Lifetime channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst thing was when the person died in that movie is I was watching with my mom and my soon-to-be wife, and I couldn't help it. Just started laughing maniacally, and I was like, he's going to die! Oh, that got me in so much trouble. You know, you said that, I think, honestly, that's why guys tend to try to stay away from chick flicks. Because if they laugh at that wrong spot, that's just this critical emotional moment. You know,
you ain't getting any tonight.
You may not be talking to that person ever again. You know, wow, why did I just go to Steel Magnolias as a good case of like a good chick flick that wrenches the heartstrings right? But I did. Okay.
Yes. I've never seen it, probably for the same reasons that we were just talking about before. So,
you know, it actually is pretty darn good. I have to admit, it's not, you know, like Devil Wears Prada kind of good chick flick, but it's good. It's livable. Yeah. This is kind of a brief topic, isn't it?
No, I've got more to talk about.
Go, sir. Go. I will take inspiration.
Okay, this is one for Film Geek cred, but The Elephant Man.
Oh, you know, the reason I blanked on that was the last time I saw it was when I was like 8 years old. My parents showed it to me. And that ending was so good.
I know. It shows, you know, Lynch, he can do his, you know, stuff with dancing midgets, but he can also create very emotional pieces of work. Like, or even just the Twin Peaks film, Fire Walk With Me, is a very emotional film for me also. But some people are too weirded out by it, you know.
But The Elephant Man's a very good, solid pick because it shows this, you know, this man with a hard life trying to find peace, and when he finally does, no matter what the cost, it just kind of gets that special tug.
Yeah.
You're special, man. You reached out, and you touched the brother's heart.
Okay, what else? Here's one from when I was a kid, but have you ever heard of My Dog Skip?
I've heard of it. I never saw it.
Okay, I think this came out like 10 years ago, I want to say. And I was I was like a little kid, and I saw it in the theater, and definitely it was, yeah, it made me cry. But now it's one of those you look back on, and you're like, oh, that was the biggest piece of crap ever, you know?
Yeah, like that was the one with Frankie Muniz, right?
Yeah, and the bacon, but yeah, so.
Yeah.
And I just remember, well, I got my first dog around the same time I saw that movie, so that's really why it tugged at those particular strings.
Gotcha. So is My Got Dog Skip kind of like the Marley and Me of this generation?
Yeah, I think so, but without Owen Wilson, I guess.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You know, Wall-E, holy crap, how did we miss Wall-E?
Oh, yeah. That was another one where I had to, like, pretend I wasn't crying.
Especially at that point where she's reviewing the security footage.
Yeah.
Holy crap. It's a perfect case of using a scene for one purpose and then coming back and using it again to show you what was really going on. And, yeah, again, I was like, oh, my gosh. That's so sweet. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I got another one. Philadelphia.
Another one I missed.
Oh, well, it's a good movie. It's not like a great movie, but it definitely tugged at my heartstrings. It definitely kind of woke me up to particular social issues as well. So I definitely recommend it.
Fair enough. Cool.
And I think that's like all I wrote. From last year, Into the Wild was a very emotional film for me also.
And I have that at my desk at work. I need to watch that.
Yeah, you do. Definitely.
I've heard that and Diving Bell and the Butterfly I need to see. And that one's on Netflix. Watch it now. So I have no excuse for not watching that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you much of a sci-fi fan at all?
Oh, I love sci-fi.
To go a little bit TV here, just to kind of like explore this issue a little bit more. We don't talk a lot of TV on here, but I like to whenever we can bring it into a discussion. Would you put BSG in that level?
Oh, you know what? This is going to also lose me some geek cred, but I've never watched a single episode of that.
Oh, that is something you should look into, sir.
I know, I've been meaning to, but actually, speaking of sci-fi, what about Wrath of Khan?
Oh, yeah, that... Which part of Wrath of Khan? There are several really good points.
Well, at the end, I'll just say, if you haven't seen a particular moment between Kirk and Spock.
Yes.
At the end.
Yeah, that was a great case of... There it is. There's the guy movie that has a great emotional point that just kind of gets at you, but it's still, you know, a quote-unquote guy movie. Which I think that's probably why it's considered the best Star Trek film, too, because it's so it's got such a rich story.
Yeah, and it doesn't have them singing "Row, row, row your boat."
Well, there's that. Yeah, or oh gosh, there's okay. Thank you. You had to go there, didn't you? What does God need with a starship? We're such nerds. But yes, you need to see Battlestar Galactica. I think we're about 2.5-3 seasons through the show, and we have yet to see a happy ending to a single episode.
Oh, that sucks.
But it's so good, you can't stop watching it. And with this being the last season, yeah, we're going to start Netflixing it or whatever. I forgot. Do you have something close to the equivalent of Netflix up there?
Yeah, we have Zip, but... Zip is the name of the service. When I say Zip, I'm not saying we have nothing. But Zip is... Yeah, but Zip is kind of unreliable because you know how at Netflix you have a queue, right? You can order your...
Yeah.
Well, like, for example, Zip recently sent me my 120th choice. So it's kind of
like sweet. So it's like a it's like Blockbuster online.
Yeah, from what I've heard, Blockbuster online is actually a much better service than Zip will ever be. So
wow. Huh. So it's prime for someone else to come in there and just step in and just like make googobs of money in Canada.
Yeah, we got screwed over here in the Great White North.
I'm sorry. Poor Canada.
Yeah. Wait, say again?
I said poor Canada.
This has kind of been an awkward show just because it's been the two of us, but I have these occasional sound problems, so it's like it's almost
the chemistry's
like
not perfect, but it's all good though. And it's kind of hard to crack jokes, you know, when we're talking about the movies that made us bare our souls. Yeah, I can't believe you, wussy.
I can't even remember what we were talking about now. What was the last thing we were talking about?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. Okay.
Yeah.
So Wrath of Khan, sad movie.
Yeah. Yippee. Okay. You know, I it's like they were trying to kind of go for it at the end of Star Trek IV when they let the whales loose. But it didn't quite have the same effect. Okay. You think we've beat this topic to death pretty good?
Yeah, we're going to get beat up enough for
Fair enough.
Let's move on.
We're going to get called girls' names like Dr. Cox does in Scrubs. Fair enough. All right, well, let's go ahead and let us know what movies make you cry like a little girl. Why not? All right, email's coming up a little bit later in the show. Let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week. Whew, Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Every time I see that trailer, I just want to find something and I want to break it.
Fair enough. Essentially, hopefully, the movie itself, so it never gets shown, or
maybe that. But I think it's not going to do too well because honestly, who wants to see a movie like that in these times?
That's a very good point. The downturn, if you will.
Yeah. So I don't need to wish anything on it. It's going to just implode on itself.
Fair enough. Well, it's like they're trying to push it, kind of like it's like another Sex in the City, but not.
Well, it's like rated PG. Have you noticed that there's like this huge influx of PG rated movies? Like not even PG-13, but PG.
Well, if the movie calls for it, there's no need to go out and shoot for the PG-13 or R. If the story supports, you know, whatever it is, then that's one thing. But if you're like, well, let's make this movie and let's make it PG-13, it's like, really?
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. I just noticed it. I feel like I'm the only one who notices it. So I get to use this as a soapbox.
Fair enough. Hey, anytime you want to use it as a soapbox, it's all good. It's Lifebuoy soap, though, just so you know. I don't know why I went to I don't know. Wow, I'm random today. Going to a Christmas story in the middle of February. All right. And Josh isn't here, so he can't talk about his anticipation of seeing Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's too bad.
Part 13 now, is it? Is it the 13th movie?
Wait. Okay, I think, wait, wasn't Jason X the 10th?
Okay.
Because X is 10 in Roman numerals or something.
Yes.
And I think, I guess if Freddy versus Jason counts, that's 11.
Okay, so this is 12.
The 12th, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, remember, I don't know if you ever remember this. You probably weren't born yet. The talk was, well, we're going to make only 13 of these. If they're rebooting the franchise, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
It's just not that realistic. So have your slasher goodness. See Nana Visitor as Jason's mother getting her head chopped off. It will be great fun for the whole family. Take grandma and the kids. If I pull up the stupid thing. Then we've got the international. Does this look intriguing at all to you?
It looks really bad, which pains me to say as a, because I'd love Tom Tykwer, but yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
I get bored every time I see the trailer come on. That's never a good sign.
And remember that when the first trailer came up, there was that whole Ghost Rider thing where they reused footage from Ghost Rider?
Yes. Oh,
that just kind of, that's just been a big...
it kind of sets the bar right there.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. Nick Cage might show up as Dr. Fu Manchu or something. I don't...
Eat his jelly beans. And
yeah, the last trailer I saw that bored me this much really was In the Name of the King. So I'm not going to be seeing this. And then in limited release, we have got Two Lovers.
Which is, was Joaquin Phoenix going to rap in this? Or
I have no idea. I don't even know what's going on with that. Do you think it's anywhere near real?
Well, I heard they're saying some inside sources are saying it's all a hoax. And he's just like, he's making it, Casey Affleck is filming it as like an art project. But, you know, it's like, who takes a year off from their work to do an art project? You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially one like this where you make an ass of yourself trying to rap and then fall off the stage.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess it could you know, spike some interest in the movie. And if that's what you got to do to get interest in your movie, there might be a problem there.
Maybe he'll become like a folk singer for his next movie or something.
Wow, maybe he'll become Garth Brooks. Go that route.
Johnny Cash Jr.
Yes, there you are. Okay, wow. This is derailing so fast, you know? Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at this week's DVDs. Let's just start off with a bang. High School Musical 3, Senior Year in a regular and extended edition.
But it's on Blu-ray, right? I need to see Zac Efron in HD.
Yes. I hope they have the deleted scene with Bruce Willis in it, though.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wasn't that brilliant?
That was.
I absolutely love that scene. Okay, moving right along, we've got The Changeling. You're meh.
Lame. Meh.
Okay. Religious. You liked this, right?
Yeah, it was good. Though, I'm a non-believer, but I can acknowledge its faults and its strengths, but it's worth watching whatever side you stand on.
Fair enough. It's always worth it. You know, I've always, even as someone of faith, I've never been afraid of someone attacking it, because if you're afraid of someone attacking it, then you've got more problems than just that. Okay. And for some reason, I guess people just want us to have to talk about Hound Dog again. It got pushed back a week, I guess, so we get to talk about it yet again.
Yay.
You know, the only reason to bring up Hound Dog is to point out, I forgot to say that in Coraline, Dakota Fanning was great.
Yeah.
This, I couldn't care less. Okay. All right. Because everyone demanded it. There's a 2-disc as well as the 1-disc edition of Body of Lies.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't, but I'll watch it on DVD.
Yeah. It's, I guess, worth watching. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then we got Dead Like Me, the complete collection, which I think includes the made-for-TV movie, too, as well, which I just started watching this show, too. Have you seen this at all?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It seems funny from what I've seen.
It is. What I like about it, the main character isn't, you know, it's like the typical smartass.
Yeah.
Know, the sarcastic person, but as opposed to people being like, ha, 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 you're funny. Everyone's like, you're full of crap. Shut up. Which I like.
That's
that.
Good. Yeah, it's realistic.
Exactly. Because no one likes that guy. Or a girl.
Oh, wait. Are you trying to say something here?
No, you're okay. Funny. Your Sandra Bullock thing on Twitter was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm blushing.
There you
go. If only I could set up my webcam right now.
Wow. No, I'm good. leave it alone. Then we have Greg Kinnear in Flash of Genius, right? I think he was
okay.
in it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Then Choke.
Yeah, I read the book. I'll watch the movie.
Are you? Okay. Okay. So if it's close to the movie, is this going to be... If the movie's close to the book, is this going to be a pretty disgusting movie?
Yeah, well, if it was like exactly like the book, it'd definitely be an NC-17, but...
Fair enough. Okay. I just want to have an idea of what to expect, and should I or should I not rent it? So, all right, there we go. Then we have Quarantine, the remake of Wreck.
Yeah, I have no need to see this. Wreck was enough.
So you did see Wreck?
Yeah, I think, in fact, I don't want to brag here, but I think I was the one who recommended it to you.
I think you were, yes, back when you were, before you became on staff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's such a good... Why remake it? Why?
Well, because there's people who are like, what is in Spanish? What? So, you know.
I can't read nothing, because...
If I wanted to buy a... If I wanted to read, I'd buy a book.
Yeah.
I literally heard... When I was at Best Buy buying Pan's Labyrinth, I literally heard that.
You're kidding me.
No.
Yeah, okay. I weep for the future. All right. Moving right along, we've got The Midnight Me Train. I'm going to actually get to finally finish watching this. Did you get to see this when it was streaming at all, or was it not available?
Remember it wasn't streaming outside the U.S.?
And you're not bitter about that at all, right?
No, since it sounded like a gay porno, but...
Next thing for Justin Long's character from Zach and Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I watched that too. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, the Dutch Rudders.
Yeah, after I remember Josh propositioning me on that. And Josh, if you're listening, okay, why not? Just tell me when.
I am scared now. We do not support that kind. Never mind. Never mind. We're leaving it alone. Then we've got, I've heard this is awful, but I have to see it because it's Simon Pegg, How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. I guess I have to see it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear that thing about how he told people to boycott the DVD, though?
No.
Because apparently him and the director, they had a vision for this, right? They filmed it, but the studio said, oh, no, you can't put this version in theaters, but, you know, you can have it on DVD. But apparently they're releasing, like, a bare-bones version without these deleted scenes, and he's saying, basically, just boycott this, skip it, see it, and don't see it at any means necessary.
So the version that we saw theatrically was not his vision for this movie?
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of helps a little bit. I suppose. Okay. Well, all right, then maybe I'll skip it. Another, whatever, is Screamers the Hunting and our crap title of the week. Didn't Feast 2 just come out like 2 weeks ago?
I think so.
Okay, we've got Feast 3, The Happy Finish.
What?
Exactly. It hurt my brain to be like, the first sequel just came out and we've got another one apparently, so... Maybe they filmed them back-to-back instead of waiting 6 months. They're like, yeah, screw it. Just put them all out at once.
It's like Reloaded in Revolutions.
One could hope it's only better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Let's leave that alone. Okay. If you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. Shoot us an email, Josh, Podcast, Dave, Ethan, or Barry at ScreenGeeks.com. I have no idea what we're talking about next week, but we'll figure out something fun. Ethan, you're going to come back, right?
For sure. For sure.
Cool. Hopefully my internet doesn't completely blow next time. But it's all good. We'll come back and we'll have a good time anyway. So, but until then, this is Dave.
This is Ethan.
Take it easy.